and a very pleasant good evening, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live, broadcasting from the West Lounge of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. And now here's your host for our broadcast this evening, Mark Meek.
Thank you, Jim. Once again, you're doing a superlative job over there.
And any other word that has lots of syllables in it.
Well, we're kind of into this word deal.
Yes, we are.
So I have to come up with a new word every once in a while.
I'm not surprised. I think that's...
Yep. Part of my stuff. So the way I roll.
All right. And so we have in studio with us tonight, everybody, none other than Gary Ware.
You didn't call me Gary Beware. What's the deal, Mark?
Well, you know, I should have. It's been a long time since all that. We were sitting here talking, and we used to have Phil Driscoll playing the trumpet for our...
Off a cassette tape back in the day.
Yeah, that was our entry point. Now we just have Jim.
All right, well, that's better. Cut to the chase here. Get down to the point.
Yeah, sometimes it was good to have a real long entrance because you didn't have to come up with as much to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes that was pretty tough to do.
Kill 5 minutes at the beginning and 5 minutes at the end, playing the music and fading out.
You were on Sunday Night Live for a lot of years.
Yeah, I was on several years back in the 90s and then popped back up when it revived up.
Yeah.
So when did you go back on the air? Do you remember?
I don't know for sure. Probably it's been about 17 years ago, so that would have been about 2002.
One of my best memories of doing Sunday Night Live when it was at the river upstairs was one spring Wheeler had wildfires, and we had to evacuate Wheeler because the fires were right on the edge of town, and my wife thought we needed to save our dogs, which I was only doing that because my wife thought it was a good idea. But we had about a 120-pound German Shepherd, and we had to go up there those stairs at the river to that studio, which the dog wasn't afraid to go up.
There was 26 stairs.
26 stairs. He wasn't afraid to go up, but then when it got time to go home, he would not go down, so I had to physically carry that German Shepherd down those stairs.
They were steep, too.
They were.
I don't know how. I know that bottom floor, the rooms in there, had like 11 and 12-foot ceilings. And they were your space to put that set of stairs in there was pretty limited, so it was very steep and a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the time I'd get up to those things, I'd be so out of breath. I couldn't really talk.
Anyway, we got him down out of there, and he cooperated and let me carry him out. So.
And your house was fine.
Yeah. My house made it through the fire.
So. Yeah. Well, it's good to make it through the fire here.
It is.
I think there's a song about something about making it through the fire. It might even be a scripture about it.
Probably somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple of those fires back in the early 2000s, probably.
Yeah.
Where my son's, I'll tell you a neat story about protection. One of those fires came up on town really quick, and they started giving the orders to evacuate town, and my daughter-in-law was down at the house, and she didn't even know anything was going on. And so we called her, and we said, hey, we got to get out of town. This fire's right on the edge of town. And so we went down there to pick her up. Well, as we got to her house, you could see the flames over the back of the house. That's how close it was. Yeah. And we got in. We headed over towards Sweetwater and hung out over there a couple hours till we finally figured out it was all right to come back. Well, the fire got up to the house, and I'm sure the fire department was there to help, but there was a lawnmower under their carport, a little push lawnmower, that it melted the wheels off of the lawnmower, and there was a plastic 5-gallon jug of gas with gasoline in it sitting next to it that never ignited.
And, wow.
and,
yeah. I believe the Lord was taking care of you.
I think so. Yeah.
Did that get up in the soffit of the house or something?
The neighbor's house.
The neighbor's house.
Yeah. Got underneath it, I think, and did some damage. And their little house was all right other than a little smoke. But, yeah, it was amazing how fast that thing came. You know, I was kind of keeping an eye on it, but it was way out towards Magic City. And then in no time, they were warning everybody to get out of town.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there was some friends that were on volunteer fire department, and they went out there and they saw that thing coming, how fast it was moving. And so they started moving back because there wasn't any way really that they could do anything about it. And so this guy from the Forest Service came by, and he stopped me. He said, "The fire's that way, guys." He said, "We need to be up there fighting that fire." And they said, "We're as close to that fire as we're going to get." He said, "Oh, you know." So here in a little bit, they were still kind of waiting around there, and here comes that guy back, and his hose was dragging out behind him. He never slowed down. He just kept going. That fire was moving quick.
Yeah, it was. It was. I know there were a few houses that were lost in that one, but
yeah, that started over by McLean and kind of west, northwest of McLean, and came all the way across.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know if Jim Turvaville was.
He was probably up in Colorado in the perfect climate. And, you know, if he'd stayed around up there long enough, he would have probably got his tail feathers burned a few years ago when they had a big fire.
I was in Colorado, and there were several fires up that direction. I remember the one that burned over the top of Raton Pass.
Yeah.
And it took years for you to drive across there and not think, wow, this just looks horrible. And I was through there this spring. And it really, if I didn't know that there'd been a wildfire that went through there like 7, 8 years ago, I wouldn't have picked it up. But that's really the first summer. Just take a long time for it to not just have that scar after a big fire like that.
So if you remember back when you bought the first blue Trailblazer that we delivered to you in Colorado, that's when that Hayman fire started.
The Hayman fire was,
And so we met Jim at a Applebee's or something, and we were delivering this vehicle to him. Well, we couldn't go to our cabin because that road 24 was shut down for that fire. So we had to go all the way around back down to Pueblo and Canyon City and
come back through Pueblo and Canyon City and back in.
Then I think you guys had to evacuate your office.
We had to evacuate the office. Yeah. That was the Waldo Canyon fire is what that one was.
Oh, okay.
Could actually see the flames from the second floor office window. Mm-hmm. I have some pictures. It was pretty awesome, but it was just heartbreaking as that fire jumped the ridge and started setting all those houses on fire. Just boom, 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 yum, yum. Mm. It was pretty awesome. Awful awesome, but awesome, you know. Like driving down the road and you see a car wreck and you just got to look, you know.
Yeah.
Can't turn away, but. Yeah, that was, say, summer of 11?
Probably right.
I'm guessing, yeah.
That was the year it was so dry.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a fire that year, and the next year they had another one north of Colorado Springs up in the Black Forest
So
area.
What was the name of it?
The Black Forest Fire. Yeah. They were hard up for names on that.
We don't put names on fire. Yeah.
The Hayman fire up there
was in 01 or 02 or something.
And a girl was burning love letters from her boyfriend up there and caught the whole forest. I mean, it went almost all the way to Denver.
Yeah,
it was. But, you know, the one we had out here, I don't remember what year it would have been, 05 or 06 maybe, that came up to my son's house a few months after that, We always like to go drive, and after you get a little rain out on that, and that stuff starts turning green, it's just
pretty.
Yeah, it kind of gives you a picture of what God does in our lives when we burn things up.
He's not the one doing the burning.
No, we usually do the burning, and then he restores
it,
fixes it, and it all looks better than than it did.
It's always new, isn't it?
It is.
All that old stuff burns up, and the new comes. It's amazing.
Yeah, so it's always real traumatic when that takes place, but then over whatever amount of time it takes to come back and restore that, it's always pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. We went through Yellowstone after they had some fires up there, and the sad thing was to see all that burn, but then, you know, we'd been through there before, and basically you were driving down the road and you couldn't see a lot except turn out here to go look at geysers or whatever. And after that fire had gone through there, man, you could see all that terrain and everything for miles up there where those trees had burned out. So, and it's started growing back, believe it or not.
Yeah. It just takes a little time and a little rain.
Yeah, and sometimes the time's longer than what we, we're willing to accept.
Hey, I hear a lot of spiritual things in all this.
Yeah. One of them is I think we're not very patient, probably.
Yeah. I think you're right. Everybody's so devastated by whatever thing it is that's happened in their life that needs to be gone, and then they get to a point of desperation and they make some decisions, and then they go through a period of kind of, is this really real, or am I going to get back into this? And then your confidence grows and the newness of it all comes, and it just, and then you look back and go, man.
And I think that's what happens to people a lot one thing I think back on a lot is, I think Aaron has a saying that's something along the line of, we never lose. How does he put that, Jim?
That this life is not win or lose. It's win or quit.
Win or quit, yeah.
And if you haven't won, then the game's not over.
Yeah, if you hadn't, so don't quit.
Don't quit.
Basically, yeah.
Because you don't quit until you win. Yeah. Right. It's not over until we win. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says faith and patience inherit the promise. And that's exactly the same concept that you're talking about here. You trust the Lord and wait until he can get that worked out in your life. Because sometimes, hey, I'm not too pliable to working things out when I first want change to come into my life. I'm kind of, you know, I want just a little dab of this maybe, or I can't see the full picture of what God's doing. And so it takes a little time to develop those things in my life. And so I've just got to have patience until, don't quit.
I think that's one of the biggest things we run into as Christians, and is when you go through trials, you know, whatever it is, whether it's fire or whatever, I mean, you can put your own label on it, but the tendency is to, for a lot of people, is to just throw their hands up and quit and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. But I don't know how many times we've been through things where, you know, maybe years before you can look back and see the positive things that came out of bad situations. But that's what God's able to do when we let him work with us through those situations. And sometimes we just don't have the patience to think about it in long term. We want everything resolved right now, and that's usually not the way it happens. But
Gary, you know, when you were talking about those fires back there in 2005-2006, one of those fires was went across I-40, and there was smoke, and there was people went into that fire, and somebody went in there and stopped, And when they went in there and stopped, it caused a big pileup.
Right.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the way it is with our life. Too many times we stop before we see the full culmination of what God's doing in our life. And sometimes when we get in there and stop, it messes not only ourselves up, but it messes up other people that are close to us.
Right.
And so, man, once you get into a situation and you're trusting and believing God, you don't want to stop. You just want to keep on chugging. I don't care how bad it looks or how bad it's been or anything else. You don't quit.
Right. And, you know, we get so stinking spoiled here, I think, living in the country we live in, because, you know, we do have it good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know there's areas that struggle or whatever, but opportunities there, I think, for anybody that wants to take advantage of it more so than other countries around the world.
Yeah.
And I think that puts us in a position of being impatient and not willing to wait on God to do what he wants to do in our lives. So the thing I was thinking about earlier was walking in peace, which I think probably ties into being patient. Because if you don't have peace about a situation, then it's hard to be, or if you don't have peace in general, it's hard to be patient when you're in a...
In a bind. You texted me and said that you wanted to kind of go down this road, so I just went and looked up the piece, what it meant. You probably did too. So,
well, I've been looking at other stuff, but
okay,
it's probably a good thing you looked that up then.
Well, the word peace is very in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One's in Greek and one's in Hebrew, and the word for peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. And that's a familiar word. You know, people use that word kind of loosely.
As a greeting, or whatever.
Yeah. And so it has a lot deeper meaning than just, hey, I'm good with you, Gary.
Right.
And that's kind of the way we treat peace. I'm good. I don't have a problem with you. You know, it's more about relationship and what it is, anything else. And so I looked this up, and it really has some different shades of meaning. And the word that's used in the Greek is very close to this. It means pretty much the same thing. It means completeness, soundness, welfare. And then it says completeness in number, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment, friendship, in human relationships with God, especially in covenant relationship, peace from war. And so, when you look at that, that covers everything.
It does, yeah. It reminds me a lot when you read that of the same thing as the Greek word for salvation is. Mm-hmm. I mean, just parallels
really
that
inclusive,
really well.
Inclusive, yeah.
Yeah, it's way more than what we just think of as salvation in, you know, terms of somebody accepting the Lord and being born again. That, if you ever look it up, it's the word is sozo, and it just, I mean, it covers health and prosperity and the whole deal too, just really similar to what the definition of the word peace is. But I think being in business and, you know, having just all the daily stuff you have to deal with of being in business, it's something that I have to kind of check myself on every now and then, because you get so many things coming your way that it's hard to to remain at peace sometimes, yeah. And you got to go back and say, okay, what, you know, what's the source of all this, and you know, how am I going to get get this on track where I can make everything function and flow the way it needs to be. Jim probably can testify about being a partner with me in business about how
I say nothing. Let he who is amongst us who has no sin cast the first stone.
So are you a planner?
I'm
or
a
you, do you fly
no,
by
I'm
the
not
seat
a,
of your pants?
No, I'm not a planner much, I don't think. I'm more of a dreamer. Probably would be more accurate. So I'll say, Jim, we ought to go have a hot air balloon festival or something. And there.
And he'll forget about it. Because now I'll go do it. So. But on the other hand, Mark, I'm not that kind of guy. You know, I mean, God put us together for a reason.
So are you, you're the planner.
I make the plan and do the step-by-step and figure out the dirty work of it. But I can't come up with the ideas, you know.
Yeah.
So an example probably recently would be, so we had our Ware Chevrolet anniversary party, right? And I think you guys came by for that. And so one of the people that were there was from Wheeler and owns a meat market down by San Antonio. And he heard us playing guitars and he said, hey, why don't y'all come play down there? It'll be fun. You guys can get away for the weekend. It's like, okay. So then I'm like, Jim,
let's figure out how to do this.
We're going to go play in San Antonio and, you're going to come with us and run sound. And so,
and I said, I am. News to me.
And so anyway, then, so, yeah, we're going to lose so much money on this, but it's going to be fun.
It's not the point.
We've already had to order monitors and more microphones and
things necessary. Because we had a minimal sound system that we carried. Now it's got to be a little bigger than that if I'm going to have to do a five-piece band, you know. So
this has longer tentacles than you know, Gary.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing this program tonight, because it'll be played during that weekend that you're gone.
The weekend we're gone is when this is airing. So.
Oh, okay.
So this has longer tentacles.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So as we speak, we're returning from San Antonio. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, y'all can listen to yourselves on the radio.
So yeah, anyway, Jim learned being partners with me probably is a seat of the pants deal. You just
so what does that do to Jim's peace?
Well, actually, it gets me out of my comfort zone, and really, sometimes we get in a rut. You know, we get to doing what we're comfortable doing, and you know, we just do that because there is nothing that rattles our cage. And Gary rattles my cage a lot, and I love him for that as a friend and brother in Christ, because he does get me out of... I just sit around and wouldn't do half the things I did because I don't have anybody to challenge me. Mm-hmm. And Gary challenges me. And in my corporate career, that's why I was successful, because whatever they challenged me to do, I could figure out a way to do it. And I've been out of that for 5 years and been enjoying that. And now God's given me Gary to remind me that's a gift I have of that.
But I also don't think, I don't ever push it. Like if Jim's like, that won't work, then I'm using
it. Yeah, he drops it. I mean, you know, we're good partners in that respect. So, yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And going back to the aspect of peace, it's just, I mean, both of us usually end up knowing in our spirit, I guess is how you'd say, whether the plan's going to work or not. And sometimes, doesn't always mean we don't do it. But sometimes we
do. But occasionally we're in for a penny, in for a pound, and we just know we're going to lose it. But, but yeah, we usually do. God has really blessed us in that way, that we kind of bounce off of each other. And he does. He's the creative idea kind of guy, and I'm the figure out how to make it work kind of guy. And, and I consider that a wonderful partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah, we enjoy doing that stuff and then seeing what comes out of it. And I tell you, and I know being in your line of work too, that all the outside forces you deal with, you know, when it comes to farming and ranching, that sometimes it's easy to worry and fret and not have peace. I'm going to see if Mark slaps this fly here.
I feel like an old cow in here, swishing my tail.
I went and looked for fans, and I couldn't find them.
I don't think the cooler is cooling very well.
So. But, yeah, so, you know, being in the kind of business I am, where you have, you know, economic aspects and employees and everything is one area where you've got, I mean, you really got to check yourself so you don't get totally frazzled. And that, but I know also you're, you know, ranching. I mean, you got to deal with what this, just this year alone, Mark, just talk about, with the weather situation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm always fighting the weather, seems like, you know.
I mean, we gripe because we don't have rain, and then you have rain all spring. Well, then you can't get crops in or out or whatever, and
then it quits.
Yeah, and then it
So, and then you're going back the other direction. So then, it's a never ending thing.
Yeah, I remember in 11 when everything got so dry, you know, hay was through the roof.
Yeah,
and nobody had any grass, and
nobody had any hay either.
Nobody had any hay either. They were bringing hay in from all the way up in Montana and in there, and now you probably couldn't get for a bale of hay what it cost to bale it, I imagine, because there's
that's kind of the way it
so
is.
So much around.
But that's the way things work, and everybody faces these things. It's not, I mean, if you just go to work every day, you got to deal with your boss. People have to deal with you.
Right. Yeah. Bless their heart.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's, when you turn around and start looking at it, well, everybody's got these issues going on. And if it's not your boss, it's your wife or your husband or your children or your children's teachers or your children's coaches or your, I mean, you can just kind of keep on going. Your parents. I mean, it. There's issues.
So tell me then, how do you go through all that and maintain peace and not stress out and end up quitting?
Well, that's a good question. Jim, would you like to answer that?
I don't know. When I get it figured out, I'll get...
I was going to say, if we figured that out, we could write a book and make a million.
But you know, really, I think the key to it's in the Word. And, you know, Jesus over in John, I think it's John 7. Annette gave me a little deal here a while ago. She said this might be interesting. It says, peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of Christ in the midst of that trouble. And so John 14:27 is what it referenced, and it says, I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. And then it says, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. And I forget how many times Jesus said to his disciples or to the people around him, he said, don't be afraid. Don't fear. And you know, courage is closely related to peace, in that we can't, like y'all said, we can't quit. We've got to keep going, and so it takes courage. And I think that courage is something that's on the inside of us that God has given us through Jesus, and it's already a part of us. We've just got to learn. And I don't use that word lightly. That word learn. We've got to learn how to seek that peace in our life and to draw it out. And, you know, several years ago, my family had all gone to Amarillo, and they were supposed to be home by 6 o'clock or something. Didn't have, that was before cell phones. So I didn't have any way to communicate with them. And, so it gets to be about 9:30, and I tell you, whatever thought that you can imagine was going through my mind. I was already having their funerals almost, you know. And so I was sitting there, and I was letting these thoughts just go nuts in my mind, and all of a sudden, down on the inside of me, there was just kind of, it really wasn't a voice, but it kind of was. I thought it was my voice, but I know now it was the Lord, and He said to me, "Don't you think I'd let you know if your family was in trouble?" And I thought, "Whoa, wait a minute, where'd that come from?" Because I was having all these other thoughts running through my mind, and then I have this down on the inside. I hear, don't you think I'd let you know if your family was in trouble? And I said, duh. You know? Yes. And I've many times through the years when my peace has been threatened, I've gone back to that. And I say, okay, Lord, you need to let me know something. And you know what? Not one time in all that time did it. Yeah, you've got a problem that this, and this. And no, it's always just been either a little wisdom that came to me or nothing. And I take that nothing as meaning, hey, I'd let you know.
Everything's all right.
It's kind of like that old farmer, you know, that his wife told her he loved her on his wedding day, and yeah, and after so many years, she goes, "Well, you've never told me again." He said, "I hadn't changed my mind. I would have told you if I had have." And God hadn't changed His mind. That was my word that I received from Him, and I've continued to stand on that and use that all these years to protect my peace.
That's good. You know, I think a lot of people think, whatever situation you're in, you think if you could change your circumstances, that would give you peace.
Yeah.
And not necessarily so. I mean, if you look at the guy that's maybe a younger guy starting out or whatever, that's maybe taking an entry level job, and you know, they're struggling to get by, and I'm sure he's thinking, man, if I just made more money, all my problems would be solved. And then, but that's not true. I mean, because you can take people in any different walk of life, whether they're worth $1 billion or whether they're making $10 an hour, and each one of them have their own set of troubles and their own problems and their own things they have to go through. So, peace is not found in, you know, a better job or a bigger house or maybe in a new car. But
hey, you spoke to something right there. Well, what the scripture says, it says, as riches increase, so do they that consume them. So you're exactly right. We got to have a new car. So we got to run out. We come see Gary Ware at Ware Chevrolet, and he goes, "Well, you know, this new model, the price has gone up about $15,000 from when you bought this last one, and actually the value of yours has gone down, and you're still going to owe this much right here." And so there you are. You're getting a new model, but it's going to consume more of your riches.
Right. It happens.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what. I just use that as
right. Oh, yeah. I mean,
put
that's
in a
just
plug for you, though.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, your
I think.
houses, whatever it is, groceries, whatever it is. I mean, you know, here's a fallacy that I hear a lot, and I did this myself. I thought, well, I'll get more established before we start a family. And so we didn't have children for a while. It really wasn't because of that, because we were trying to have children. But there was a little fallacy in that, and I figured it out, in that once we had children, there was a whole lot more that was consuming that, like diapers and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then they grow and they eat and you got to dress them and you got to have a big vehicle to carry them around. I mean, it just.
Yeah, and they're involved in.
You might as well just go ahead when you're young, have your children and
yeah, they say
grow
if,
into
if,
it.
If you try to wait till you can afford it to have kids, you'll just never have kids.
That's right.
Too,
you'll never be able to afford it.
No, you never can. You know.
You'll like that new something other better than, you know, somebody might be going, I'm hanging out for a vet. Well, if you're hanging out for a vet before you have children, you'll never probably have children. Because it'll be something else right after
That's
that.
It.
So, yeah. But you know, guys, the biggest thing, peace, is the peace that we get with God when we receive Christ into our lives. And whether we realize it or not, we're really in an adverse situation with God before we receive Christ into our life. And the Bible says that we're of the kingdom of darkness, and our ruler is the enemy, Satan. And so we don't have peace with God until we receive Christ into our life. And that peace that he gives, and that's what he's talking about, it's a peace that the world does not give. And that peace is wholeness, it's soundness, it's completeness. It's not just a matter that God's not going to get you. It's a matter of what he actually brings into our life. And like you said a while ago, that word salvation, it's wholeness, health, salvation, all those things.
Right. I think where we get in trouble is we, you know, when the everyday stuff starts adding up and piling up on you, then you get your focus off what the word says and your relationship with God, and you start figuring out how you're going to resolve all that. I know my last couple of years in business have changed because, you know, my older brother retired, and so that put a lot more of the responsibility for the dealership on my shoulders. And so, I mean, there's been some nights where you're going, oh my gosh, you know, this... Do I have enough cars? Do I not have enough cars? Do I do this? Do I do?
Yeah.
Or my employees getting taken care of, and you toss and turn and you kind of get off track of what you really need to be focusing on that gives you peace. I remember way back when I first started going to Christian Center back in the day when, you know, I had my life really messed up, and so I got to be friends with you. We started going to church down there, and there were nights where I wasn't sleeping for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, and just stressed to the max. And when we made that decision that we were going to go down there, and we started getting in the Word, and we started learning, you know, what the Bible said about our finances, our marriage, healing, our children, and all this stuff, and that, when I really started getting grounded in the Word, and then I remember after a couple of weeks, I was like, man, I've been going to bed and sleeping all night, and because I had my focus off
all your stuff.
All my stuff, and was focusing on what the Word said. And so it was Well, it was a big deal to me then, because I mean I wasn't sleeping, and I was stressed out and worried about my family and my health and the whole deal. And then, like I say, after a while, I was like, hey, you know, I've been going to bed and sleeping all night and getting up, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I had adjusted things and had that peace working in my life where I was able to do that. And recently, the last couple of years, you know, with everything, the way it has changed on my business, I've got back in that pattern a little bit, but it, you know, I knew where to focus, mm-hmm. and what to do to get back on track where I wasn't suffering through that same stuff I was 28 years ago or whenever it was.
You know, Gary, the Bible's, there's a strange scripture, and people think it's an impossible scripture, but it says to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And they read that scripture and they think that is an impossibility.
Right.
You could not do that. You couldn't function otherwise. But I want to tell you, you can function, because it's not saying that you just sit around and think about the Lord all the time. But there's an awareness in your thoughts as you go about your business, as you whatever you're doing. There's an awareness of Him, and there's a reliance on Him that you know that things are going to work out because of Him and because of what He's doing in your life. And that awareness gives you confidence to be able to go ahead and function and make decisions that you have to make.
Right. That's it. Yeah. I love, you know, we listened to Andrew Womack some, and you and I went to one of his conferences, as a matter of fact, but he was talking about people that were believing for healing, and, you know, he said, what's the worst that's going to happen to you if you believe God for healing? He said, I mean, if even if you don't see it manifest here, then he said, and you die and go to heaven, I mean, that's not a terrible option either.
There's no loss.
Yeah, it's no loss.
Your family might not like it, but, you know, it's inevitable that that's probably
going to happen. Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, you and I as believers believe either we're going to be caught up in a rapture or we're going to die and go to heaven one way or the other.
Yeah.
But
it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah. So... Yeah. The end is coming, I mean, of this eternal life one of these days, and
yeah.
So
yeah,
we just make decisions to the best of our ability and be led by the Holy Spirit and do what we're supposed to do, and then trust God to lead us in the right direction, and then when we screw it up, trust Him to get us out of the ditch.
Yeah. You know, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And then we know that if He hears us, then He'll grant us our petition. I mean, it's when you read scriptures like this, that we can have confidence that things are going to work out for us.
Right.
We have confidence that healing is going to work in our body, that our business is going to be successful. Yeah, there's going to be hiccups along the way. And sometimes you lose a little money if you're in business. But, you know, you just keep looking and walking, and you see that eventually it all works out. And you know, I've been doing what I do now for the Lord knows how long. I can't even, they're probably going, this guy doesn't even know math. It's just that it got too complicated.
They hadn't,
takes three pages.
They hadn't invented it when he started this.
Yeah, well, let's see, I was 20 years old or 19, and I've been going at it.
That's a lot.
Nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
And you know, I tell you what, there was so many frustrating times back there that I just
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
You know? And you just keep on going. You just keep on trucking. And, you know, there was time we didn't have any money, and there was times when we had a little money, and then there was... But in the end, you just keep on, and the Lord's working in it, and things just kind of keep working out for you.
Right.
And keep working out for you. And, yeah, there's some setbacks. But you can't let those things stop you. You can't let them keep you from reaching your goal.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing. I remember I owed the bank quite a few dollars, and the banker came out to see me, and he wanted to inspect my cattle. And we were driving along, and I said, man, this is a pretty tough deal. And the market, the reason he is out there is because the bank examiners, when things are good, you don't have much problem with bank examiners, but when they get a little on the shaky side, they want to know if you've got what you said you had.
Right.
And so the price of cattle had just fallen dramatically, and so he's out there, and I'll never forget what he said to me. And it was sound. It was biblical. He didn't realize that. And so we're driving along. I said, I don't know how I'm going to pay this off, all this cattle cheap like it is and everything. And he goes, you're just going to keep on doing what you're doing. He said, it'll be all right. And he's serious. And I looked at him, and I knew he had lots of experience. And he goes, you're just going to keep on doing what you're doing. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. You just keep on doing what you're doing. I mean, we sow seed that is going to produce a harvest. It is going to produce a harvest.
Right.
And so we get all in, see, and we're afraid that it's not going to produce a harvest. But if we planted a corn seed, we would expect that corn to produce corn. We'd want it to produce a harvest. We would expect that.
Right.
I would never plant if I didn't expect it.
Right.
But we take the Word of God, which is seed. The pastor said this morning, this isn't, what did he say? It's not a book of rules. It's a bag of seed.
Yeah.
And so we just keep on planting these seed and expecting this to come to pass in our life, and it will.
It will. I think the other good side of that too is I think you know, we tell people to keep pressing on and keep doing what they're doing, but we also have confidence and assurance to know that God, you know, if we need to adjust or we need to change things, then mm-hmm. you know, He's gonna make us aware of the things we can do to change our situation. And it's not something that you necessarily have to stress over, you know, to figure all that out. He's gonna make it known to you. And it's like, I mean, the Bible says, you know, that His sheep know His voice. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna know. I mean, mm-hmm. when He's saying, hey, you need to cut expense here, or you need to maybe expand over here and do these things. It's Jim and I, one of the craziest deals is our whole radio story, starting out when he first called me. I was in Florida, and he told me about the radio coming available. And so we, you know, we was just like, let's just see what we can do. And I, you know, I had confidence in my relationship with him that he, you know, knew that the deal was right. And so, you know, he called me back in a little bit and said, well, we got it. And from the time we started that, I was like, I never did really. I was like, oh Lord, we got a radio station. What are we going to do now? I was like, well, this, you know, and, just every time that a step needed to be taken, and Jim can tell you this as well as I can, every time that something needed to happen, I don't, you know, we use the phrase a door opened, I don't know, you know, but
just hang out.
God provided,
just,
yeah.
Just don't jump in, you know. Don't just presume and stop and wait. And wait for something to happen.
Jim and I drove back roads looking for tower locations. There were restrictions on where we could build a tower due to
other radio stations.
Right. I mean, it's just all the FCC and FAA regulations that you go through. So we're looking. I mean, we drove dirt roads. You wouldn't believe how many dirt roads we drove looking for tower locations.
I'm big on dirt roads.
Yeah. And
live
so
on one now.
We're like, well, this would be a good spot, or this would be a good spot. Well, then we called the guy, and he's like, I don't want to do that. And then we looked a little longer, and then we finally found, well, it came back to the same guy that we had called before, and I called him, and he was like, well, I don't really want to mess with it. Call my son-in-law, and y'all can work something out. So I called him. He's like, yeah, we'll do it. So, when we needed the space, we didn't need space for a tower before,
right.
But when we needed space for the tower, then that came available. Then we needed a transmitter, and I don't know, how did you end up?
It's a long story.
Anyway, but when we didn't have one.
We didn't steal it, right?
No, we didn't steal it.
No, it's okay. Not. It's legit.
He may have horse traded a little bit.
Yes, there was some horse trading involved.
Then we needed
a tower and a studio.
Yeah,
we needed a studio.
And not before, we didn't need expense before because we weren't making any income. So, but when we needed that studio, then the EDC came to us and said, hey, we have a building that's sitting empty. If you'll pay the utilities, then y'all can move in that building. And I mean, so it's just one testimony after another about how, from starting out, we needed a place just to turn it on to make it legal. And so we threw a antenna on a flagpole. I called a friend.
It was a beautiful sight.
Yeah. Called a friend and said, hey, we need to put this antenna on this flagpole. It's the funniest thing. And I don't want to get anybody in trouble so I'm not going to name names, but there were four utility trucks that showed up to put this.
For one guy needed, Everybody wanted to be a part of that.
So, but the process through all that was so amazing how it all, and it's continued to be because we've been, these other avenues have opened up, but it's all been kind of one step at a time, and you don't really know what the next one's going to be until it kind of comes up, and then we'll talk it over and see if it's the next move we want to make.
And we have all of those executive meetings usually driving down some dirt road somewhere. That's where we have our business meetings. That's kind of the way we do.
I hope y'all don't get lost.
With two GPSs, two cell phones, and a tank of gas. Well,
we almost had a story about getting lost south of South Island Reed. But
yeah, this is what happens when you do ask Google where to go.
Yeah, Jim's like, I know there's a road.
The map says there's a road, but it was not a very improved road.
Yeah. Well, so, Google can be got wrong.
Tell me about it. Yeah. It got us there, but we were pretty dirty by the time we got off that road. So.
Anyway, it's just been a fun trip to take. And like I say, we have to regroup every now and then and then check that piece and make sure that that's where we're at. And sometimes we're wrong. That's the good thing about it, too, is you can be. And sure. God, God's still there. I think the word said he's a very present help in time of need, which is a comforting thing that you can fall back on and say, hey, we really screwed this up. We need help. And that doesn't mean you don't suffer loss or whatever, but
it gets you out.
Yeah, right.
Gets you on the right road.
Right.
Guys, it's interesting to hear y'all talk about this, and because it's really a great life lesson for our listeners to know that these things are things that really work. This peace that we've talked about and walking through open doors and and looking for those things, not just kind of waiting around, sleeping, waiting for them to happen, but actually getting out there and a little bit of trial and error, I guess. And
right,
I think those are things that, and don't quit.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing that you is a big benefit is when you do get surrounded with people that have the same spirit. Mm-hmm. I know going back, I don't know how much time we've got left, but going back to...
You got 3 minutes.
When we first started going to Christian Center, I remember driving out to Don Brown's or driving out to yours, because, I mean, it's easy to get rattled when you're going through something, and you kind of think, well, I'm getting a handle on it, and then, you know, something will blow up, and it may be pretty major or whatever, but you go, you know, kind of lean on people that have been through stuff or been around longer that you can look at and say, hey, they've made it through all this, if they can do it, and go talk to them, and, you know, I mean, even if they don't have a ton of stuff to say, at least you're putting yourself in a position with other successful people that it's going to give you confidence to know that God's going to take care of you and bring you through whatever it is you're going through.
Gary, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
I mean, if you've gone through it, there's somebody else that's right. gone through it. It's and what's interesting is God has a way of putting you with those people to where you can draw strength off of them, but at the same time, if they've been through it, they're needing to draw strength off of you too.
Right.
Whether it's healing for your body, tragedies, whatever it is that you go through, somebody's going through that.
Right.
It may not be at the same time, but they, you know, those things still are things that you can draw strength out of somebody.
Right.
And every one of us have strengths in our life. There's things that we've gone through. We thank God we don't all go through the same things that, you know, all the time. But somewhere there's somebody going through the same things I'm going
right.
through.
Like flies circling your head.
Man, I
being born
what,
without we tails.
Have, we have attracted the flies in here tonight. We should have brought a fly swatter or the off or
you,
something.
You should hear what they sound like buzzing your microphone. I can hear them. It's amazing.
Well, that probably
our listeners have heard that and wondered what was going on. So a little explanation was helpful.
The flies. I want them to hear me slapping these flies with this little book that you gave me.
Last month's devotional guides.
Yeah. It's got fly stains on the back
it does,
of it.
Yes.
Well, Jim, we're about out of time here. So
well, that's okay.
We're glad to have Gary with us tonight.
Absolutely.
And
since he and I are on the way back from San Antonio.
You're
tonight.
On the way back from San Antonio, and this will be aired, is it next week or week after?
August 11th.
Yep.
August
11th.
If we're coming back from San Antonio.
That's what day it is today, as this is being played. So.
All right. So we're out of here. Good night, all, and God bless.